Last night I got a report from the Houston team that is living among the 50,000 internationals down there. We've got two of the ladies, two of our Keystone Project, one not my daughter yet, who she'll probably go to China. Who knows what Grace is going to do, but a couple of them are going to maybe head through Houston, spend some time, and then go to L.A. One of them, I don't know, but there's a lot of connection to Houston. We've got a couple here you're going to hear from in a couple weeks that probably is headed down to Houston ministry. These guys are really tight missionary partners with us. LJ, who leads that team, sent a group of us a text last night, and this was the text. He said, "Praise the Lord, a wonderful, miraculous story just happened." He said one of their 14-year-old leaders who has a young girl who has 50 disciples plus a Korean girl from Burma who's been won to Jesus. She's got 50 disciples plus. She was at a leadership conference a few weeks ago. There was a couple days of it, and one of the nights she dreamed that another leader was with her and led her uncle and aunt to Jesus who lived 2 hours away. So the next day she goes to that leader. They're meeting in a house, and she says, "Hey, I have this dream about you being with me. My uncle and aunt who aren't saved, you were with me, and they came to know Jesus." While they're talking about this, there's a knock on the door, and guess who's at the door? The uncle and the aunt. The uncle and aunt had driven 2 hours away, came right at the moment they were talking about mission to them, walked into the room, they prayed with them, they received Jesus, they were born again, and now a couple weeks later, what the reality is that that family, that uncle and aunt, went back home and led four more families to Jesus. And they're making this. Isn't that great? So we financially sow into the Houston team. We love that team. We're going to send laborers there. We've got a team going into L.A., into Portland. We're looking at some other cities. But just those kind of stories are happening as they're giving their lives away by faith down there. So please pray for Houston and all that's happening down there. There's so many that are unsaved and need to be born again. But I want to encourage every 14-year-old in the room and 11-year-old. We're hearing about 9-year-olds down there that are making disciples and multiplying disciples. Isn't that wonderful? And so we live in a different culture up here and a different place that's gospel saturated, but we still believe our youth can move in the power of God like that. Amen. I think we might have had a prayer quote. Could we put that up here really quick? I wanted to show you this quote by Ian Bounds that I sent to a bunch of leaders and pastors in Wichita and in El Dorado. And it basically was a quote about the power. Do we have that, Dina? It was one of the slides there down there below the Wichita Prayer Network and the El Dorado Prayer Network by Ian Bounds. And we showed it in Wichita. But anyway, this quote is, here we are. "Where are the Christly leaders who can teach the modern saints how to pray and put them at it? Do we know we are raising up a prayerless set of saints?" By the way, he wrote this in the 1800s. "Where are the apostolic leaders who can put God's people to praying? Let them come to the front and do the work, and it will be the greatest work that can be done." That quote is stirring many of us, leaders, in trying to lead the body of Christ to pray. This morning, there's announcements in Wichita and here about various networks. The El Dorado Prayer Network is coming together here. It's a coalition of pastors who are committed to praying together. And we're committed to praying for revival for the church, restoration of the prodigal, redemption of the lost, and reaching the unreached nations. We're just locked in on it. We've sent to all the Minister Alliance. Some other pastors will join us. I'm joining with Assembly God, Baptist, Hope Covenant, Nazarene. Even on July 1st, you might have seen in the midweek, on July 1st, on a Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're inviting the whole city, anyone that would want to pray for these four things, to gather at the Nazarene Church just up the road here. July 1st at 7 p.m., Pastor Tom has invited us to come for the first monthly corporate intercession with multiple churches. And there's really a rising tide of passion for prayer. We're going to sing a little bit. We're going to pray for these four things. Multiple leaders are going to pray together. And so we're inviting, and I'm hoping New Life will show up strong and fill up that Nazarene place. And the other churches will be coming too. We hope multiple intercessors where we come and just unify in prayer because we really do want to see revival in the church. That got decided on Tuesday morning at a shepherd's prayer meeting that we're having every Tuesday morning at 10. I wanted to tell you that one of the guys from that group who had heavily committed and invested to this got kind of really attacked by the enemy a night or two after that, on Wednesday night, actually. It was on Wednesday night. He said he was looking at some of the document that I wrote. I wrote this thing about a network of prayer in the city. He was thinking about, and it was his mission to send a letter to the other pastors. And he said his blood pressure started spiking. He started breathing short. I mean, heavy. He was just losing his breath. He started just physically having a odd manifestation that doesn't ever normally happen to him. And he literally couldn't type anything as a letter of invitation to this prayer meeting. So he struggled with that through Wednesday night. I was headed to our daily prayer meeting down at Jacob's Well on Thursday morning at 6:30, and I get a text from him to a group of us guys saying, "Hey guys, maybe we should hold off on this prayer thing. Maybe God is wanting us to prepare more because this is such a big deal." And we contacted him, talked with him, and by Friday, he was saying, "Oh my, I was being attacked. Actually, this is confirmation that we should press on and pray more." The unusual thing about that moment for that guy is that happened to him, I think, within the exact hour that the shooting in South Carolina happened. Was everybody aware of the shooting that happened at a prayer meeting in Charleston, South Carolina? If you've not watched the news, it's a tremendous thing that's happened out there. Tragic thing, this for racism and various things, but it was a targeted prayer meeting, Bible study, where this young man, you know, sat in there for an hour and then shot 9 of the 13 intercessors. But all over the headlines, and you don't have to have a high prophetic IQ to know this was a message to our nation. I mean, it's a local tragedy. It's got multiple meanings, but sometimes these events mean something. But the headlines were an attack, gunman attacks prayer meeting. You know, young gunman comes in and shoots up people at prayer meeting. I'm watching that and I'm going, yeah, there's an attack from the enemy on all prayer meetings, on people who would give themselves to prayer. The great redemptive news about that, if you've been watching it, is the people who survived that and the families, have you seen it? They're extending forgiveness to this young man. They're saying, "God, have mercy on your soul." They're praying for him and his family. And what was a meeting of 13, now they're showing pictures of meetings of multi-hundreds, black and white people, holding hands, circles of prayer, and prayer is increasing in Charleston out there. Isn't that great? It's not exploding in fiery marching and angry looting. We've been praying in our prayer meetings that the Lord would stop the ambushes in our American cities where these things are happening and this violence. And I don't know if you know, but just a month earlier, an out-of-control policeman, he really was a bad guy, he ended up, you know, shooting a black man and then was trying to, you know, do some weird stuff, laying a taser by to prove he hadn't done it. And they caught the guy and he's been fired. But, I mean, tensions were already high there. But by God's grace, there's more prayer and more grace happening because people are responding by faith. So I just wanted to say all that to say what I said last week. Do not be surprised when there's warfare in your life over prayer. Let's stop being shocked when we have struggles with our prayer lives or when we commit to pray and then trouble comes. This is the real war. I believe with all these great praying saints that have written books, the enemy does not fear. When we come up with better speakers and better buildings and better plans and even better Bible studies, he fears when God's people bow their knees, humble themselves, call out upon the name of Jesus. That's when things begin to shake up a bit. So I wanted to pray for prayer right now. We're having a revival of prayer. Could we put the prayer schedule up? We're praying every day. Donald, I don't know, is Donald in the room? Donald's back there. Wave, Donald. Donald and Lydia, hi Lydia, wave Lydia, are leading worship on Wednesday nights at 7. So there's prayer meetings every morning, 6:30 a.m. We invite you to come. And there are now prayer meetings rising up in the evenings. There's one on Wednesday. There's one cooking for Tuesday night. We think there's one for Thursday night that's about to begin. And we're going to give ourselves to worship and prayer in an excessive way by the grace of God. It's good for us to skip a television show or a bit of a golf game to give ourselves to prayer. It's really good to give up a little bit of sleep, to get up and to give ourselves to this thing so we have no regrets in the kingdom of God. So we're pressing in. I thank you for all those that have come to pray. I know there's others in here that want to come and you've been having some trouble getting there. Keep pressing in and the Lord's going to bless you, I know, as we do this thing. But let's pray because there's going to be I know, an ensuing kickback, and I don't have any fear about this. I just want to be sober and alert. The enemy's going to kick back and try to produce division. There's more unity among the pastors in the city than I've ever seen before. There's more grace to talk about discipleship and shepherding the saints and prayer than I've ever seen before. And I believe that momentum is going to increase and increase and increase, but it's not going to come without a price and without some kickback. So could you just take a moment right where you are and pray with those around you? And really what we're asking is, Lord, revive us in prayer. Protect us as we pray. Listen, heal those in Charleston, South Carolina that lost life. Pray for that community. And as the funerals are happening, that the healing would continue and prayer would continue there. And pray for protection for prayer in this area. So would you just take some moment and be the house of prayer and just pray in little groups right where you are. Someone just say a prayer among the group of you and the rest of you, amen.